We are going through the Gospel of Mark as a church together and reading through it all week by week, the different aspects or different passages we're teaching on. And so I'm picking up where we left off last and reading Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 23. It says, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'm going to invite up Allie Cranmer. And I know we've got quite a few new people, so for those of you that don't know, Allie and her husband Mike and their family are part of Celebrate Church, have been for a while. Allie's been a pastor for many years. She was on staff here for a while. She's now working at the schools, but she continues to be a pastor, so that's a gift to us. She's actually spoke at other churches the last couple weeks. She spoke at the ladies' luncheon yesterday, and so now we have the gift of getting to hear her and sit under her teaching today. So I pray that we have ears to hear and hearts to understand what God is saying to us today through her.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, good morning. I am so excited to be able to share with you today, but I felt like there are some things you might need to know about me, especially those that are new, but there's one thing in particular that even those that have been here a while may not know. Friends, I do not like to go shopping at all. I don't like the sounds, the smells, the lights. It is all overwhelming to me. When I shop, I am on a mission. I go and get only the things on my list. I also don't like to backtrack. So when I write my list, I am going in the order of how I enter the store and how I'll exit the store. And if I miss something, oops. I know this might all sound crazy, but there is one store above all other stores that I cannot stand. I can't even walk into it, and I've only done it once, and I needed to leave immediately. This store is full of storage containers. Storage options, boxes, organizers. Some people love this store. I do not. The thought of aisles being full of containers to help encourage me own more stuff makes me feel nauseous. I think part of my dislike for this store is that if I could, we would sell everything as a family, move onto a bus, and go travel the U.S. forever. I would live minimally. But I, like many of you, have at least 7 Christmas containers in my basement. My Christmas decor is stored away so that I can use it over and over again. I put all of my decorations in plastic containers specifically so that nothing can ruin it. Not water, not food, not animals. And bonus, plastic containers can stack on top of each other nicely so that they're organized. And then if I need to grab them, I can grab them and know exactly where they're at. I mean, some are even red and green. So if I didn't know what container it was, I could put it in a red and green container and I would know immediately that's Christmas. Well, when I read the book of Mark, all I can see are the containers and boxes. Today's passage specifically, we begin to see people's containers affect their willingness to hear, to see, and to know. Some receive Jesus, but others cannot and will not. As Andrew said, we are currently in a year-long series on the book of Mark. Each week, we have been looking at small chunks and passages so that we can absorb as much as possible, learn as much as possible from the life and ministry of Jesus. Mark, the author of the book, wrote the good news with the hope and desire for people to understand more fully the life and ministry of the Son of God, Jesus. The gospel was specifically written for Gentiles, those that were not of Jewish descent, to have greater knowledge of the power and might of God through Jesus and in Jesus and as Jesus. Mark writes with one objective. Jesus is God, which means for us to know God and his kingdom, then we need to know Jesus, our true God. Jesus was who he says he is. And we, as his creation, should respond with complete allegiance to him. However, this passage has a few interesting dynamics, all centered around one container of the law, the Sabbath. Whether it was eating or healing, there were rules and expectations, and that guy, Jesus, well, he wasn't following any of them. To his followers, this was interesting and refreshing. To the Pharisees, this was dishonoring and reason for concern. Who did that guy think he was? Who gave him all the power and authority? But when the Pharisees asked about that, Jesus' answer declared his fate. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus shares his personhood and his divinity in one sentence. Jesus is the Messiah, and because of that, he has the authority to say what can and can't happen and what should and shouldn't be done. This declaration offends the Pharisees. It offends their understanding of the law, their understanding of the Messiah, and the understanding of the empires they had built for themselves. The Pharisees cannot see anything else but how wrong Jesus is. Throughout this series, we have tried to explain as much as possible who the Pharisees are. Each week, we've gathered a little more, so let me try to summarize it all in one piece. The Pharisees, also known as the Separatists, were the religious leaders of the people. They were middle-class ministers and believed in the written law, the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Torah. They also taught on an oral law, the tradition that was shared from person to person or generation to generation. They cared deeply that both would be followed. And they cared deeply that they were followed how they were intended to be. The written law was in black and white. It is the Bible, the first five books of the Bible. But the oral law had some add-ons. It was based on tradition and maybe even who shared it. And because of that, sometimes it brought confusion. See, the add-ons became more limiting. In the Pharisees' desire to bring clarity on how to live a written law, specifically the Sabbath in this passage, the people became more chained and more oppressed. The religious leaders were enforcing and policing the word of God. The Pharisees did not appreciate Jesus because Jesus challenged specifically the oral tradition and the expectations around the oral tradition. The oral tradition had a lot to say about what could and couldn't happen on the Sabbath, but it only put the Jewish people into tighter containers. If we're honest, The Pharisees cared more about the laws around the Sabbath than practicing it themselves. Jesus challenged this by not only asking questions, but by using David as an example. David's men needed to eat, and God gave them permission to feast on the bread that only the priests could eat. In the same way, Jesus had given his followers permission to glean from the edges of the fields. The edges of the fields were left there for travelers, for those less fortunate, as an offering, as a peace-giving. But the Pharisees quickly accused them of harvesting. When the truth was, if they were harvesting, well, then Jesus and his disciples would have been making money. It would have been a job for them. Their ministry would have been paid for. But they're walking through the fields exhausted. They're walking through the fields hungry. The church I preached at last week, they had a children's sermon. Do any of you remember having a children's message? If you do, raise your hand. All the kids came forward, and the person that was sharing said, in Jesus' day, they didn't have cars. They might have had a horse, but that showed a status. One kid cutely said, they had donkeys, and they did, but that also showed a status. So they walked everywhere. They were tired. They were hungry. They were eating to survive. Jesus understood that the purpose of the Sabbath was for the people to rest. God didn't need people to rest. Ultimately, God didn't necessarily get anything out of people Sabbathing. However, God created Sabbath as a gift for us to be restored. Whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, communally, God understands our limits. And out of love and care for us, gifted us restoration. Jesus understood God's intent and knew that because God was showing love by gifting us the Sabbath, then we also have opportunities to gift and love others. So whether it was healing a hand or eating, Jesus is showing love. Okay, friends. So we can talk a lot about this passage, but I actually wonder if we pause for a second and we watch it. If you have been around Celebrate for a while, you know that I and my family are very big fans of this series called The Chosen. The Chosen is an artistic expression of the Bible, which means the creators look historically, contextually, and at the entire Bible and the entire narrative, and build on that. Now, although part of my degree is in biblical studies, this series helped me better understand some of the dynamics because I could see them firsthand. For instance, Matthew is a tax collector. He's one of Jesus' disciples. When I read that, I could understand that Matthew had a job as a tax collector, but I didn't fully understand why they always brought that up. Matthew the tax collector, Matthew the tax collector, over and over. But when I saw it, I began to realize that Matthew being a tax collector was a very big deal. Matthew as a tax collector meant that he was going against people. He wasn't trusted. He wasn't liked. He probably stole from some of the disciples that were with him. Matthew, as a tax collector, looked different on screen than all the best commentaries could say. So, although commentaries are wonderful, I agree with that. I have them. I love them. They helped write this message. Sometimes they read one-dimensionally. So, with that said, will you pay attention to the screens as we watch this clip together? First, did you hear when they walk in, what is the Pharisee saying over and over? So-and-so cannot enter in. So-and-so cannot be a part. These people are not allowed. But then Jesus is on a mission And he knows he is appointed to do something in that moment. Can you imagine? Like all of a sudden someone walks in. I'm saying I'm Jesus, please. I'm not saying any of us are Jesus. Please know that part. But like all of a sudden, and then they know I'm supposed to be here to heal that person. Jesus walks in and is like, forget all this. The king is here. I'm going to heal a person. That's throwing their script a bit. One of the other things I noticed is if you listen to the passage when Andrew read it, was that it's actually portrayed differently in this series. So they show it the opposite way. Three of the four gospels share about the grain field. Two of them share about the healing that happens in the temple on the Sabbath, but they share it the opposite. I want to bring attention to that just in case you're like, that's not biblical, didn't say it in the Bible. Yeah, you're right. But what they were trying to get at is they were combining the Sabbath pieces together for this episode for us to better understand what was happening. I also think it's so fascinating, which I shared a little bit, but how much Jesus is on a mission. Jesus is there to heal. Jesus is there to do something about faith. Friends, this was my aha moment. See, when I was preparing for this message and I was looking at the different commentaries, I began to see all the containers the Pharisees had. The Pharisees specifically walked through life with storage units full of containers. They had containers for the law, a container for the Messiah, a container for their personal empires. Now, I don't like containers because to me they imply more stuff. But the illusion of a container is that it makes sure things stay safe and organized. So for the Pharisees, they kept containers and had containers to keep order, to keep power, and to keep others in check. The Pharisees had specifically a container on the law. And that container was used to make sure that people would follow the law in a way that brought glory to God and the way they thought glory should be brought to God. They used that container to bring judgment to people. They used that container to make sure that anyone or anything that spoke against that container would immediately know that they were wrong, that they had no room for those kinds of thoughts, questions, or doubts. Jesus challenged that. Jesus, just being Jesus, brought tension in that. And because of that, it eventually brought a death sentence to Jesus. But the truth is, friends, I can have a similar container. I want people to encounter God and learn about God so badly that I will try to lead them in ways that submit to my thoughts, my opinions, the way I worship, the way I do things. Even if another person is right, sometimes I can't accept that. Because I so strongly believe that the way I encounter God is the right way. So I start to speak my own oral traditions and believe that others should follow those, act like me. It leads me to no longer loving. It leads me to stop learning. And it leads me to stop caring. But there's another container as well that we see. And it's specifically on the man, Jesus. The Pharisees, well, they were waiting and waiting like the rest of the Jewish people for the Messiah. They had their own thoughts and opinions on what that man was going to be. They believed that man was going to be a military man. He was going to take down the ruling and reigning powers of Rome, and they would be free to do whatever they wanted. They believed he would be strong. They believed that he would be able to take control of the situation that was happening at hand. But they missed it. Because Jesus was and is the Messiah. Jesus was there to take down the ruling and reigning powers, but it was religion he was there to take down. The Pharisees had a hard time reconciling what they were expecting to what was before them. Because Jesus wasn't a military man. Jesus was a carpenter. Sure, he probably had muscles like the military men, but he wasn't there to flaunt those. Jesus was there humbly to ask questions. He spoke in ways that people wanted to come closer and lean in a little further. But the Pharisees couldn't see it, and they didn't care to. Now, I can be similar. Yes, I've been a pastor for about 20 years. But I like God in my little box. I like to understand God. Sometimes, I'd rather God just be my friend than my savior, my king, the one that rules and reigns over my life, the one that cares deeply about me, the one that's going to set me free. It's more comfortable for me to have God be in a box than for him to have full access of my life because, hey, I can still do the things I want to do then. For me, how that would look is at times I used to be afraid of all the different gifts that the Lord would give. Specifically gifts of the Spirit. I'd be afraid of tongues or prophecy because I was so scared that those were things that were from the old days, from biblical times. God doesn't use that now. And so I would say no to things that didn't make me think that God was who I wanted God to be. In all honesty, God looked pretty human. I really wanted Jesus to be my keep me out of hell, make my life go well kind of friend instead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that reigns over my life at all times. I liked Jesus to be in my pocket because then I could carry around him and take him out if I needed to, but the rest of the time, he could just stay stuffed away. But the Pharisees had one more container that I noticed in this passage. And it specifically has to do with the empire of self. They were in control of religious order. They were in control of religious demonstrations. They knew the rules and how to live them out. They chose to live in specific ways so that other people would know that they were holy. That other people would think that there's no way they could live like those Pharisees lived. And so they proudly walked around. They would show off their container and say, check it out. You living like this? I didn't think so. And they would go back and forth, letting their egos grow and grow. They made sure that others knew how little they were in comparison to them. Sadly, I can have the same container. Now, it might look a little different, but don't get me wrong. Our family, for years as a pastor, I would look at our family and be like, keep it together. We are in public. People need to know we love Jesus. Pull it together. I didn't want people to know that we just yelled at each other before we got in the minivan to church. My container would look like me judging myself and others based on how they worshiped. My container looked like me trying to keep things in control at all times. My container looked like me making sure that everyone knew I loved God. But then I had the flip side of this container too. I just wanted people to like me. So I made sure that my container was likable. I would decorate it. I would make sure people were like, that Jesus, he's so sweet. Look at that. And I would be afraid to speak truth. I would be afraid to confront. Because it mattered more to me if you liked me than if I was liked by Jesus. Which ultimately I always am, just like you are. So friends, this is the big thing I want to confess today. Sure, I don't like shopping, so if you ask me to go shopping with you, I probably will have to mentally prepare for a few days. But I need to confess that I'm a Pharisee. Or at least I can be. Yes, I do not like containers. But I live with containers and restrainers and four-walled prisons. My containers allow me to maintain the illusion of control. They allow me to limit God and what God can do through me. They make me feel safe and secure in religion. However, Jesus came to break through religion. Jesus came to interrupt the message and say, I have a healing that needs to happen today. Jesus came to break chains and prisons and hatreds and strongholds that were tethering people to hell. Jesus came to blow up containers. Jesus came to show people a new way, a freeing way, a relationship way. One that honored God out of mutual love and respect. I know we're only, if you are watching these weeks progress, we're only at the beginning of Mark. We have so much more of this book to go through. But my heart breaks for the Pharisees. Because their containers are so tightly closed, even as things are happening in front of them. A man's hand being healed, a man and his friends dropping him through the ceiling, and a man gets healed in front of a bunch of people, including the Pharisees. They can't see it. It is as if Jesus is doing miracles and making declarations in front of a bunch of blind and deaf people because they aren't willing. They will not see it, and nor are they curious. So instead, the Pharisees, they come together and they pull in the Herodians, which was a political group that was pro-Herod and his dynasty. The Pharisees shared the threat they believed Jesus to be to the political powers. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to overthrow the political system and then the religious system, all so that Jesus would be silenced and killed. Because Jesus was too threatening. The relationship way was too uncomfortable. If we're really honest, sometimes it's easier to live by religion because at least we know what's right and wrong. The Pharisees were operating in containers of religion that reinforced their need for control and power. Religion is not Jesus. Relationship is Jesus. Freedom is Jesus. And when a good thing becomes a ruling thing, then it is no longer a good thing, friends. It's a religious thing. Sometimes we can act in the same way. Our containers are sealed so tightly that it limits us from what we can hear from God. Whether it's something beautiful or mysterious or messy, whether it's a blessing or gifts that are good because they're from God, we can't hear them through the lid. Because of this, it makes me wonder if we actually trust the intentions of God's heart. As we continue to push into the book of Mark this year, we're going to need to confront that question. We're going to need to evaluate our beliefs, our thoughts, our feelings about Jesus, and the access God has to our entire being. We are going to get to know God because we're going to get to know Jesus. And through the book of Mark, we're going to begin to understand God's true heart for us. But to trust God means that we are giving full access to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to have every area of our lives. It means us paying attention to the prompt of the Holy Spirit and bravely obeying it. It means fighting for relationship instead of fighting to be right. It means sharing about Jesus and introducing people to Jesus instead of a political agenda, instead of a personal agenda, instead of a religious agenda, or anything else. It means blessing. Showing compassion, and walking with others. So as we come to a close today, I wonder if I am the only Pharisee here. If there's others of us, then today is the day to rip off the lids of our containers and give God full access. To close our time, I would like to lead us into a time of confession. I will pray and ask some questions for you to reflect with the Lord. And if the Lord shows you something, there's an opportunity when we go into worship to come. Write a word confession, a prayer, and leave it in the container with the lid wide open. Will you pray with me? Father, search our hearts and know them. Test us, Lord, and know our anxious thoughts. Point out anything in us that limits us from what you want to do in and through us today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Encounter us. Would you take a moment and ask God to show you if there are any containers in your life? Will you then ask God if there is a specific container that he would like access to today? And then will you invite him into that container? And will you give him permission to do what only he can do? Father, we thank you that you are not disappointed in us. We thank you that you are not ashamed of us. We thank you that you are excited for each one of us to experience freedom, relationship, in and through you. So God, we ask you to lead us, to restore us, and to teach us. Come and do what only you can do in and through us. We trust you and the intentions of your heart. So now, will you receive our worship as an offering on behalf of our confessions today? In Jesus' name, amen.